Hi, I'm James Arnold. I'm the co-global head of strategic insights and advisory in global banking at UBS. In this series of podcasts, I'm talking to my colleagues within banking about some of the biggest topics impacting financial markets. Today, I'm joined by Simona Melare, who is the co-global head of the Alternative Capital Group at UBS. Firstly, Simona, many thanks for joining us. Perhaps to start, we'll start with a couple of really easy questions. So first, could you explain to the audience the kind of work that your team does? And then secondly, the integration with Credit Suisse, what does that mean for the scale of your business and potential opportunities?
Our team is the Alternative Capital Group, and there's two different work streams. The first one is covering financial sponsors, sovereign wealth funds, pension funds, and global family offices. And the second one is the private fund group, which does primary and secondary fundraising for global asset managers. The integration with Credit Suisse has been a game changer for our business across different parameters. First of all, the number of people in the sponsor team. We've integrated several high-quality coverage officers on our platform, especially in the US, where we needed them most. And this will allow us to go deeper in the coverage clients, and we've turbocharged our relationship. The second point is the number of bankers in the sector and the product side. We have beefed up all our coverage teams around the world. We have more content, more connections to corporate, and stronger execution capabilities in our products. And then we also have a bigger balance sheet, both on our ability to underwrite more deals, but more importantly, significantly larger lending positions in sponsor portfolio companies, which, if covered properly, will enhance our ability to win exit money.
Thanks for that, Simona. We're experiencing the first real interest rate cycle in a very long time. I guess the question is, what tends to happen to private equity businesses, both positively and negatively, in that period of time where rates are rising?
We tend to focus on the negative side of higher interest rates, and there are indeed many challenges. First of all, is the higher cash cost for interest, and that put an additional pressure on companies. There is the ability to refinance debt at the same leverage point. With higher interest rate, the cash burner might be too much. There is a pressure on exit multiples and valuation. Most PE bought assets in a zero interest rate environment, and now they face a very different paradigm, and they need to learn how to make money again. And there is a slower deal environment because there is a mismatch between buyers and sellers on valuation driven by the interest rate environment. But I have to say, in times like this, there is dislocation. And therefore, the larger, more sophisticated private equity will be able to provide liquidity and they'll be able to find buying opportunities. They continue to have plenty of capital, and as I said, they will provide a liquidity solution for companies which need money.
In that last answer, you talked a bit about the slowdown in activity, and you know, on previous podcasts, we've talked to the heads of M&A and heads of equity capital markets about the low level of deals and IPOs that we're seeing in the industry at the moment. So how important is that velocity of activity to the private equity industry, and what strategies can they employ when volume of M&A and IPOs is so much lower than it has been for the last few years?
Private equity have proven their ability to reinvent themselves and pivot to alternative strategy where the mainstream buyouts slow dries up. They have differentiated in terms of investing in debt themselves or pivoting to private credit strategies. They've started focusing on minority deals, both as buyers, but also as sellers of minority on their assets to generate liquidity. They're focusing much more on public to private, where there are some opportunities. And then they've been seeking to implement on the secondary side some continuation funds that are a way to monetize a part of their investment and keep partial ownership at a time where traditional exit sources are not a viable alternative at decent returns.
Perhaps to finish up, we should try and finish on a more positive note as we look out to 2024. Against this new backdrop, higher rates, the difficulties of the industry that you've just been discussing, what are the particular areas of focus for the private equity industry?
There are always two. One is the fundraising that will continue to be very important. and it remains tough in an environment where limited partners are not getting distributions. So what are the private equity doing? They're focusing on sales of GP stake. We're seeing some consolidation going on with some large deals happening over the last couple of weeks. And they're all focusing on access to retail channel as well as another way to tap into alternative source of liquidity. And then the other important part of the equation is deploying capital. They still have a lot of dry powder to spend. And despite the geopolitical uncertainty and the election risk in many countries, they will need to develop strong investment thesis on some macro teams where they can have expertise and can find attractive acquisitions. We talk a lot about public to private. We talk a lot about carve-outs as ideal deals for private equity to pursue today. But I do believe that most of the activity will come from secondary buyouts.
Many thanks for that, Simona. It's the interest rate cycle has created a genuinely fascinating time in capital markets, and given how central private equity is now to capital markets and all that we do, it's a hugely important topic for us to cover on this podcast. So many thanks for your insights, and a thank you to all of those that have listened to this.